Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. Tis the season for cookies, and everybody has a favorite. You know you do. What's yours? Think about it while I introduce our guest, Dispatch food editor Robin Davis. Robin is a former assistant editor for Bon Appetit magazine. She was both a food writer and restaurant reviewer for the San Francisco Chronicle. She is a graduate of the California Culinary Academy, and she's written two cookbooks and a book about Graters. It's called Graters Ice Cream and Irresistible History. I think that's the last time she joined us was about that book. In 2000, she was awarded the prestigious James Beard Foundation Award of Excellence in Food Writing. Robin also has been one of the press judges for the World Pastry Cup, which is super cool. That's that premier pastry competition held in France. Mm-hmm. So she's quite the big shot. We're lucky to have her here now. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much.
So, to our listeners, this is more fun when you participate. We want to know what your favorite cookie is and if you have a story about it, or maybe it's a memory of cookie baking, if it's something to do with Christmas or the holidays or Hanukkah or whatever it might be. Give us a call and share it with us, 614-292-8513. If you are talk shy, you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. You can also go onto the All Sides with Ann Fisher Facebook page and let us know. And if you do that, if you go to the Facebook page, post a link to the recipes if you have them. And we can share a little bit more. We are celebrating today the third annual, right?
That's right,
Third annual holiday. The special section, it's called Holiday Cookies, and it includes more than 50 recipes this year.
That's right. So I think it's one more. I think we were at 51, but we could actually say more than 50. But
okay.
Yeah, we've got 50 great recipes, the majority of them from readers. And like you, I really like the stories that people tell us behind the cookies. You know, my great-grandmother made this, or I have this handwritten recipe, and grandma always made it, mom always made it. Love those stories.
614-292-8513. Give us a call and share your Christmas holiday cookie story. So how do you pick the recipes? You said in the foreword, in the intro of the section, that you got more than 100
right.
suggestions from
mm-hmm.
readers.
Well, first thing I want to do is to sit down and have a cookie section that's varied. I don't want to have all drop cookies, all cutout cookies. I want different levels of skill and different flavors. Not necessarily my personal preferences or yours, but ones that appeal to a lot of different people. So the first thing I do is I sit down and look at trying to get a wide range of cookies. And then it's a matter of trying to get, you know, as many people in as possible. We do have a couple people who have more than one recipe. They're regular contributors. Their recipes are always great, and it's hard to just pick one. And then it's a matter of testing. It's sitting down and making
every cookie. Oh, man, that has got to be the worst part of the job,
oh,
right?
Oh, no, it's actually the best part. I mean, it's the best part and the worst part. My house, I just laugh because it's been covered in this fine layer of sugar and flour for about 2 months because I started baking in October and finished it up really the weekend before Thanksgiving, though I was baking a few more cookies this week because I can't seem to stop.
Do you bring them into work then and share those? I think I remember. Mm-hmm. But before I left, you started mm-hmm. this after the very last year I was at the Dispatch.
I think
so. I vaguely remember.
Right.
So
right.
Why did you start doing it in the first place?
Well, Ben Marison, our editor, thought that it would be a great idea. It would be something that would be really terrific that our readers would enjoy. It would be something special that we could give them. And I think that he was absolutely right. You know, at a time when there wasn't a lot more we could do, this was something that we could put together. I don't want to say with minimal effort, because on my end it's not, but that wouldn't really take a huge amount of resources, and it would be something that was valued. And he was absolutely right. People respond to it hugely. They love it. They want to contribute. And already calls this morning saying, where is that, you know, cookie section? Was that coming out today? So
it is out today. Mm-hmm. Today's the big day. My guest is Robin Davis, the food editor for the Columbus Dispatch. We're talking about holiday cookies and the special section that came out in the Dispatch today. The holiday cookie section, more than 50 recipes are there, and plus some stories from some local pastry chefs. You have a question or comment, want to share your story about holiday cookies, we want to hear it. 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. So you have a lot of criteria. How do you, and you said you try not to just pick your mm-hmm. favorites, and you don't you want to also avoid being repetitive, right?
Exactly.
You don't do anything from the year before.
Mm-hmm, that's right. We do run some recipes because we don't just run cookie recipes during the cookie section. We'll have various occasions where there will be a cookie recipe either a reader will send in or it'll be part of a story. So I have, I think in this section, it's 11 or 12 recipes that I call our dispatch classics, things that ran before, but everything else is new. And so I do try not to have something that we've run before. We have a couple that might be similar, but there's a Linzer cookie, in fact, that I had forgotten. This one's a chocolate raspberry one. Last year it was pistachio and something else. What I loved about this one is it didn't have nuts in it. Usually a Linzer cookie does, and this one doesn't. So I thought that was interesting. And they're always beautiful, beautiful cookies.
Sheila, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. Thanks for taking my call. I was so excited about the cookie issue coming out this morning, so I ran out and got the paper first thing. And I was looking at the previous two inserts last night because I save them every year. And I thought, what is she going to do this year? I mean, how many kind of cookies are there? And I was thrilled to see the chef's cookies in there.
Well,
that was such a great idea.
That was one thing that I wanted to do. You know, I do think that there are only a certain number of cookie recipes in the world. But I think that tapping into chefs, we were able to get kind of a different perspective. Now, for these chefs, I didn't want anything that was fancy schmancy, difficult. I still wanted things that home cooks could do. But that's exactly what I wanted to do, was to tap into their expertise. And these are people that make cookies all the time.
And so we have AJ Perry.
Mm-hmm, from Sassafras Bakery, and Spencer Boudros from Pistachia Vera, and then Devin Morgan, who's a pastry chef at Elena's and also at the Sheraton Hotel in downtown Columbus.
Yeah, she does the Russian tea cakes, which I do every year. Hers are they're larger and rounder than mine turn out. But
I do have to say their cookies are very, very pretty.
Yeah, they're all gorgeous. They all look perfect. And AJ Perry makes how do you pronounce it?
Lebkuchen.
Lebkuchen.
And there are several different spellings of that.
And that's considered the oldest Christmas cookie.
Is that right?
I think that could be. It's a gingerbread, and I read in the history book, it was probably the first cake or cookie to be traditionally related with Christmas.
Well, and it certainly has what I would identify as being Christmas flavors. It's got molasses and spices, and it's both kind of soft and chewy. It's a dense cookie. Really, really wonderful.
Thank you, Sheila, for your call.
Thanks.
Take care. 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. We want to hear your story or hear what you have to say about holiday cookies. Phyllis in Grove City, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Phyllis.
Well, thank you. How are you?
Very well.
Good.
Good, good. I have a little story here. 40 years ago, my grandmother had a little tiny one pastel maker.
Oh, my goodness.
You used to put them on the stove, and you would cook the pastels. 36 years ago, I got an electric pastel maker, and now every year I take about 7.5 hours out of a day, and I make about 36 dozen pastels.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it's an Italian cookie. Mm-hmm. They are absolutely delicious. And if anybody had their way, they'd want me to make more. But 6 dozen go to Jim and 6 dozen go to Sarah, and they just get dispensed. And it just warms the house up with the smell of the vanilla and the anise. Tis the season for that.
That's what I was going to ask you. We do have a recipe for pizzelles in this, and they're a Meyer lemon one. And that's actually what the woman said, is that the traditional spicing, she found people weren't liking. So she switched hers out and uses lemon. But it is a labor of love, because I have the electric pizzelle maker, and I can only do two at a time. So I think I spent about 4 hours making that cookie. And the other thing, I eat them almost as fast as I make
that's
them.
That's my problem.
Yes. So when my cousin and I get together, she eats the dough, and I eat the pastels. Mm-hmm. So it's really a very fun time. And I thank you for having me on. I just wanted everybody to know that pastels are the hit of my family.
Thank you,
Phyllis.
Thank you. Have a good day.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Now, I like the anise flavor. Mm-hmm. I'm interested in it. I don't make them myself. I don't have a pastel maker.
Right.
But
they're a very thin, really waffly kind of cookie. And it is a special maker. They used to have to put it on the stove, and now it's electric. The batter's kind of... It's kind of like a really thick pancake batter, and you just put it in, and it's like a waffle iron. You close it up. Only takes, depending on how hot your pastel maker is, 25 seconds to a minute, and then they're very thin and crispy. And I think that's the problem, is I just find myself breaking them and eating them and over and over and over.
Oops,
and so it's like,
one.
Oh, I broke. It's just I'll walk by and break the piece off. They're just, they're delicious, addictive, and they're not heavy like some cookies.
Right.
They're really light and crispy.
614-292-8513 is the number to call if you want to talk with Robin Davis, the food editor for the Columbus Dispatch. To what extent is festiveness a function of your decision?
It's a big part.
And what is that?
What is it? And that's, it could be different to me than it is to you. I remember when the section came out last year, one of the editors at the paper said, well, they just don't seem like holiday cookies to me. Some, they don't all seem like holiday cookies, which of course starts the discussion. What is a holiday cookie? I found that for some people, making just your basic Toll House cookie is festive because it's the only time they bake all year. I don't tend to include things like that or the oatmeal cookie on the canister of Quaker Oats, and inevitably people will send them to me. I try to look for things that look good, and sometimes some cookies look better than others, but I'm also looking for that different skill set. Some of them are very, very simple, and others, you know, you have to have a little bit more skill. I want cookies that would be special enough for me to give to people. That's kind of what I use as kind of my baseline. I can't use things like, do my kids like them? Because my kids like all of them. But that's kind of where we try to go, things that are colorful and beautiful, most important, delicious.
The one that I'm glad, I think it's in your classics, it's the, mint? It's the swirl.
Oh, the swirled mint. That's from one of our readers who sends things in. It's on page 5.
Okay.
And I liked that one because of the peppermint flavor. Peppermint obviously is a big holiday flavor, but it's also I've never seen, and that'll be something that always gets me. It's something I've never seen before. Nothing I had considered doing. You take the dough, divide it into thirds, color one green, color one red, leave the other white, roll them into logs, and then cut little pieces of each of them and roll it together. Every single cookie is different. Some of them look kind of hippie-ish and peace sign-y. Some of them look like basketball.
You know? Yeah,
and some of them look like flowers. I love that, and they were also really delicious. A little time-consuming, but really worth the effort.
My guest again, Robin Davis, food editor for the Columbus Dispatch. We're talking about holiday cookies right now and the holiday cookie section that came out today in the Dispatch. We'd love to hear your stories, 614-292-8513. We'll be right back. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.
This is 89.7 NPR News. Be sure to watch Columbus on the Record Friday night at 8:30 on WOSU-TV. This week, Mike Thompson and his panel will discuss Ohio's slow implementation of the federal health care law. Also, John Kasich's softer tone and Ted Strickland takes on Mitt Romney. That and more on Columbus on the Record. It's Friday night at 8:30 on WOSU-TV. And you can watch full episodes online at WOSU.org/COTR.
Support for 89.7 comes from the Columbus Jazz Orchestra, celebrating the season with Home for the Holidays. Vocalist Helen Welch joins the CJO in this annual tradition of holiday favorites, November 30th through December 4th at the Southern Theater. Details at jazzartsgroup.org.
35 degrees in downtown Columbus, sunny skies today, warming up to a high of right about 46, partly cloudy tonight, a low of 29 degrees. All Sides continues on 89.7 NPR News.
Welcome back. We're talking about the Dispatch's Holiday Cookies special section that came out today with Robin Davis, food editor for the Columbus Dispatch. We want to hear your stories. What's your favorite childhood cookie? What do you remember? What do you love to make? 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. And Sandy in Dublin, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Sandy.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome.
Well, I wanted to share my favorite childhood cookie. However, the previous caller also reminded me of another favorite that I like to do at the holidays. I really love to bake, and I've hosted a cookie exchange party for many years. But one thing that's been a real big hit at my home is with the puzzle maker. What I like to do is to pull out the puzzles when they're done but still warm and roll them into a cone shape. And then I could fill it with a cream cheese whipped cream mixture and sprinkle on.
And what time are you making these? I'll be right over.
And sprinkle on some nuts. It's just lovely and delicious. And the kids love it because it's a different shape. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of a fun thing to do if you have a puzzle maker. And then my favorite childhood memory cookie is a cookie my mother always made. And for some odd reason, it was just called a holly bar. The name really means nothing to describe what the cookie is, but it's a bar cookie, and she would cut it into a triangle shape. The bottom layer was a crunchy, blonde-like cookie. The middle layer was a sweetened condensed milk mixture that was blended with chopped maraschino cherries.
Mm, wow.
And then the top layer was a crunchy meringue with chopped walnuts.
Oh, and that's interesting.
It was lovely. And she would bake the cookie until the top layer, the meringue, was nice and crispy, and then cut it with a wet knife while it was warm. And they are so delicious because of the maraschino cherries. Oh, my goodness. It was just beautiful.
Sandy, let me ask you, did she bake the blonde base first?
Yes, she did.
Okay, okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
And it was just, you know, every time I make it, all I can remember is my childhood. It's such a great memory.
Do you have that recipe?
I do.
Oh.
Do you want to share it?
I would love to share it.
Can you post it on Facebook?
I can. And yes, I could certainly do that. How would I?
Just go to the All Sides with Ann Fisher Facebook page and,
okay,
you know, post it there. That would be great. They've expanded the post lengths, so we're good to go with recipes.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Great. Well, I will definitely do that, Anne.
Thanks, Sandy.
Thank you.
614-292-8513. That sounds like a great recipe.
That does sound good. We have a couple that have the seafoam topping, the meringue topping. And when you do bake it, you put that on the hot crust and you bake it, it really transforms the cookie. It gives you that whole other layer. But I haven't seen one with maraschino cherries and the sweetened condensed milk. That sounds really interesting.
Really yummy. Lori, in London, you're on the air. London, Ohio. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
You bet.
I love Robin. I listen to her every day on Channel 10 in the kitchen.
Thank you so much.
North Market. I have a childhood memory. My mom and dad were in a wreck, and I lived in Dayton at the time, and they didn't have family. So a lady came and met me and my sister. I was about six on the school bus, and we didn't know. We knew my parents had been in an accident. Of course, we were, you know, worried. And so she took us home, and she was like Paula Deen, and she gave us a bath and fed us. And then she said, any kind of cookie you want with butter. And we were like, butter.
We like butter.
But my sister hated me because I said gingerbread man. You know, I mean, I love gingerbread man. She's like, oh, my God, we could have any. But anyway, she made all night long. I mean, she made cookies and, you know, molasses cookies and peanut butter, you know, cookies. And just all night. And it made us forget that our mom and dad were, you know, my mom was majorly hurt, you know. And but anyway, yeah, that is Christmas to me, you know. And she was a pastor's wife. So I'm like, gee, Dad, I asked him later. I said, how did you trust that lady? And he goes, well, she was a pastor's wife, you know. But she was so wonderful to us. And, you know, and the smells, I mean, you know, that little kitchen, and they have a big house, and they weren't wealthy, but they shared their Christmas, and, you know, and it was just wonderful, you know. So right. I never eat a gingerbread cookie that I don't remember, you know, that Mrs. Lutz, that lady that cooked for us. And,
what a great story, Lori.
Yeah. So,
there really is. That smell and the way that food can touch people when nothing else can, I think it's that story just really shows that.
Yes, and I appreciate you guys since I can't bake it all. So.
Oh, no. Well, thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Take care. 614-292-8513. Keep the calls coming. We have some waiting, but we can always take more. So my guest is Robin Davis, food editor for the Columbus Dispatch. And if you haven't figured it out by now, we're talking about holiday cookies. Tis the season. You can also email us at allsides@wosu.org. And I'm looking for Sunny right now. Sunny, you're on the air. Welcome to the show from Mount Gilead. Wait, welcome.
Thanks. I have a recipe that I got out of the Mansfield News Journal years ago, and it's so neat. It's a three-ingredient macaroon.
Oh.
And I've tried macaroons so many times because good ones are so delicious, and I never could get them right, the right amount of chewy and moist and all that stuff. I saw this recipe, and all it is you get a loaf of white bread, about as cheap as it can be, and you cut the crust off, and then you cut the slices of bread into three or four strips. I kind of like to make them fat, make them three, but other people want them skinny. You roll them in a bowl of sweetened condensed milk. It helps if you warm that a bit first because it gets really thick in the cool weather. And then you roll them in angel flake coconut, put them on a greased cookie sheet, and bake them at 375 for about 8 or 10 minutes. And then take them off right away and let them cool. And you can't believe that that's all there is to them when you eat them. I made them and took them to my place at the farmer's market this summer at the Worthington Market. Mm-hmm. And I had samples, and every single person who tried a sample bought a bag of these cookies. They're just incredibly easy and so good if you like macaroons. They're just the ticket.
Well, I have to admit, if you had sent that in, I would have been like, no way, that's not going to work. But now I'm intrigued. I really want to try them.
I kept it around for years before I tried it, and finally I said, oh, well, what the heck. And they're just fabulous. I mean, you try it. You'll see.
Okay.
Well, thank you very much, Sonny, for giving us a call.
Sure.
614-292-8513. We have a caller that says it should be pronounced Pizel.
Pizel. Okay.
Not Pizel.
That's probably right.
Probably.
Yeah. My Italian isn't what it used to be, but that would probably be right.
We have three emails. One from Mario. Are all of the current and previous cookie recipes on the Columbus Dispatch website?
Nope. The current ones will not be available until sometime next week. You can do a search for the other ones, but you would have to go through kind of a lot to get that. You would be able to.
You'd have to be a subscriber, don't you?
I don't think you have to be a subscriber.
Okay.
Maybe you do. I could be wrong on that. I can give you a number, though. If you're not a subscriber and you want to call in and just order this one, you can call 614-461-5161, and you can order it that way. The recipes will be posted online. We are posting a recipe of the day, a cookie recipe of the day, for the next 7 days or so. But with recipes, I really feel like it's something that you need to have printed. So we hold off on putting them online. I think people are a little bit more likely to use them if they actually have a printed copy.
Nancy in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Nancy.
Hi, thanks. I'm glad to hear that maybe I can get some of the cookies from the previous issues because I wasn't sure they were available.
You can. I believe with that one, you would have to do a search through our recipe search, and that's at dispatch.com/food. I don't believe that there's one place where the cookies are. You can call that number, and I believe if there are still copies available of the last 2 years, they can hook you up with those as well. You'll be able to purchase them. I'll be honest, though, I don't know if we have sections left. They were very, very popular the last couple of years. But if there's a cookie recipe in particular you're looking for, let me know, and I'll see if I can find it for you.
Oh, thanks. But I'm a cookie collection, cookie recipe collector. I also want to say that the recipe for the white bread cookies, I used when I was in junior high in home economics 100 years ago, and we called them shaggy dogs. And
oh, that's great.
Magical. They were so great.
Oh, my gosh. I have to try them.
Oh, they're wonderful. They're great. And then I have a question.
Okay.
My question is, my family has for years and years and years made a cookie called Trilby's. And it's an oatmeal cookie that you cut in rounds, and you fill it with a date filling.
Mm-hmm.
So sounds pretty icky.
No, it sounds good.
You put them aside. They're really crisp in the beginning. And you put them aside and let them age for a few weeks. And they get soft and sweet and wonderful. But I don't know where that recipe comes from. And I'm curious if you've heard of it before.
Do you know, I haven't. I'm not surprised at the results because it's kind of like a fruitcake. You know, you're going to put that moist, sticky, sweet date filling on it with the crispy cookie. And then it's all going to kind of come together. But I haven't. It was called oatmeal. What was the second word?
They're called trilbies.
Trilbies.
T-R-I-L-B-Y. Trilbies.
I can't say I've heard of it.
It was my dad's favorite cookie.
Mm-hmm. It sounds delicious.
I'm going to look at my grandma's card collection because I saved all of that. And see if I can find that. It sounds familiar to me. You know, there is a fruitcake cookie.
There is.
And you might want to listen to this, Nancy. Tell us about that.
Well, fruitcake.
Well, the fruitcake cookie, and it was sent in, and it was it's a little point of contention for some people in the office who don't like fruitcake. I have to say, I'm not a huge fruitcake lover, but I loved this cookie, which is exactly what the reader said. She said she was looking for a cookie. She found this recipe. She wanted to make fruitcake and thought the cookies were easier. It's packed full of all of the great candied fruit as well as dried fruit like apricots and dates, and then barely held together with just a little bit of batter. And then you scoop it out the size of ping pongs and bake it until it's just set and it's still shiny. And they really are like little mini cakes, and they're delicious, and they get better with time. I made those on a Saturday, took them into the office Monday or Tuesday, and we were still enjoying them, and she says they get better even longer than that. So really a fantastic cookie, and you can put alcohol in or not. She had options for that, but really good, really good.
Thanks for the call, Nancy. Appreciate it. 614-292-8513. If you want to give us a call and talk with Robin Davis, the food editor for the Columbus Dispatch. Kate and Grandview, I'm headed your way. Kate, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Ann. Hi, Robin.
Hi, Kate.
I have a question. My grandmother left us a recipe for a walnut roll cookie. Mm-hmm. She makes these every Christmas. It has a real stretchy dough that you spread out super thin, and then you spread a layer of like a walnut paste, which is basically just ground up walnuts and condensed milk and maybe sugar.
Mm-hmm.
And you, I forget now. Yeah, possibly. Probably. Right. But you spread it out super thin. We figured out how to do that without tearing the dough. And then you roll it up. And then I think you refrigerate it for a little while. And then you slice them and bake them in the oven.
Mm-hmm.
Well, got everything figured out except for now every time we bake them, they fall over in the oven. Hers were always, they never fell over. They were always, straight up the way you slice them. And we cannot figure out what she did to make them stand up in the oven.
Well, when you say you cut them, aren't you cutting them into slices?
Yes.
I do cookies like that, I usually lay them down. I lay them on the flat side.
No, she cooked them so that they were
straight up.
Yes. Now, they weren't real tall.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not real tall cookies. They're flatter. But we can't. I mean, I've tried slicing them in bigger slices, which if you do big enough, they don't fall over. But then they don't look like hers.
Right. What do they look like when they're done? Are they round and flat, or are they kind of?
They're a little bit flattened.
Okay.
And they're about an inch. So if I slice them, maybe about an inch and a half wide on the roll. They're not any wider than that, because I thought maybe that was a trick, so I mm-hmm. tried last year slicing them wider, but they don't look like hers. They're mm-hmm. weird.
Do they spread out a lot?
No, they don't spread out a lot. There is yeast in the dough, but they don't spread when you bake them.
Right.
They puff up. I mean, they kind of, what happens with mine is I put them in the oven, they rise up, and then they poof all over.
Right. I have to say I'm having a tough time visualizing it. I wonder if you put them closer together, would that keep them from falling over? Would it just make them all stick together in the end?
They kind of glom together. Then,
yeah.
then I have to cut them apart with
right.
a spatula.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
The science
well.
Of baking. See, this is, I mean, it definitely is a scientific thing. You have
it
to
is.
Have everything so perfectly in.
And their recipes were not always, there weren't often a lot of steps in them. It was like, make the dough, make the filling, roll,
right.
slice.
Right. She yeah. didn't have a real good command of the English language. So yeah. we're trying to read her recipe cards. It's difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And she was very self-conscious when she would write English, so it was very, very little direction there. And it just makes me wish I would have spent more time with her in the kitchen watching her actually do it.
Right.
Lesson for all of us. Katie, thanks a lot for your call. We appreciate it.
Sure.
We have an email from Tracy. She says, my German grandmother passed down her cookie recipes. Each year, my mom, sisters, and I gather to make about 35 to 40 dozen cookies in a crazy five-hour whirlwind. My nieces, some of their friends, and numerous girls we have mentored over the years have helped. Thumbprint cookies are the universal favorite. Dough balls rolled in a whipped egg white and chopped walnuts, partially baked. Then you push your thumb into the really hot dough and fill with raspberry preserves and finish baking.
Well, I've never heard them done that way.
Me either.
The partial baking. Normally, what I do with them is that I make the little indentation, and then when they come out of the oven fully baked, I kind of push that back in again, and then I put the jam in. You could do it if you didn't bake the jam too long.
I do the jam with.
From the beginning?
Yeah, from the beginning.
And see, now, I was going to say, if you bake it too long, do you ever find that the jam kind of runs out?
Well, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not that you make it.
Well, and you might try her partially baked thing. I do think doing it for a little bit would help, because if you just put the blobby jam in, sometimes it doesn't really meld into the cookie and you just have the blob. But usually the hot cookie melts it a little bit. But that's very interesting. Certainly thumbprint cookies are beautiful, beautiful cookies.
The one I make every year is an almond raspberry thumbprint, and it's an almond shortbread with then the raspberry, and then you drizzle an almond flavored glaze.
Oh, that sounds delicious.
It's really good. It's from Land O'Lakes.
Those people know what they're doing.
They definitely know what they're doing. An email from Kimberly. She says, my Aunt Wanda raised two of her younger sisters after their mother died in the 40s and was the hub of our family. She used to bake Christmas cookies and would turn out a couple thousand cookies every year.
Oh, my goodness.
She'd give them to her friends and neighbors, her ladies' auxiliary members, and, hallelujah, would pack them in tins and mail to family far and wide. Aunt Wanda would make butter cookies, chocolate chip cookies, no-bakes, apricot bars, my favorite, thumbprints, and dozens of other varieties. She has Alzheimer's now and hasn't baked in many years, but getting that tin of Christmas cookies in the mail was one of the high points of the season for me for many, many years. A few years ago, I took her spiral notebook of recipes and had copies made and bound for close family. So we all have her recipes now in her handwriting.
Oh,
how
that's
nice.
Great. And that is something that we often lose when the older generation passes away or is unable to pass the recipes on to us orally. So spend time with grandma, mom, great-grandma, in the kitchen, write those things down and passing those recipes on to the rest of your family. What a great idea.
Yeah, I was terrified when the Dublin caller was describing that holly cookie, and I was thought, oh my God, please don't tell me you don't have this recipe.
Right, exactly.
That's like a Christmas nightmare. We have to take a break. My guest is Robin Davis, a food editor for the Columbus Dispatch. We'll get to some calls and more emails when we return. You can email us at allsides@wosu.org, and you can make the calls at 614-292-8513. We'll be right back. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 MBR News.
On the next Fresh Air, award-winning sports journalist John Feinstein tells us how he's gotten some of the most talented and temperamental athletes and coaches in the world to talk with him. His new book is called One-on-One, Behind the Scenes with the Greats of the Game. And investigative reporter Andrew Schneider tells us why most of the honey on supermarket shelves isn't really honey. Join us.
And Fresh Air begins in 20 minutes. It starts at noon on 89.7 NPR News. Join us tomorrow morning for All Sides with Ann Fisher at 11 o'clock. It's All Sides Weekend and a discussion of the best food and restaurants in Central Ohio. That's All Sides Weekend tomorrow morning at 11.
Connect Ohio wants to get every citizen online with free computer classes in our community. Find a job, get a degree, save time and money, and keep up with family and friends. Call 1-855-NOW-I-CAN to see what you can do with broadband. That's 1-855-NOW-I-CAN.
On Friday, December 9th at 5 p.m., WOSU Public Media will no longer broadcast on 820 a.m. Tune to 89.7 FM to hear your favorite programs, like Morning Edition, All Sides with Ann Fisher, and All Things Considered. Listen to 89.7 FM or stream NPR News and local news at WOSU.org. 38 degrees in downtown Columbus at 11:40. Sunny skies warming up to a high of 46 today. Partly cloudy tonight and a low of 29. All Sides with Ann Fisher continues on 89.7 NPR News.
Welcome back. My guest is Robin Davis, food editor for the Columbus Dispatch. Their new section came out, their new, 2011 holiday cookie section came out. It's the third annual special section on holiday cookies. And that's what we're talking about today, holiday cookies. If you have a story to tell, be patient with our screener. A bunch of people called at the same time, and when she asks you to hold, it won't be too long before she gets back to you, and we'll get you on the air. 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Jody in Sunbury, you're on the air.
Yes. Hi, Ann.
Hi, Jody.
Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I want to ask if anybody bakes biscotti for a Christmas cookie, because I found out from the USA Weekender, I found a recipe in there for great guilt-free cookies that have no shortening and no butter.
Mm-hmm.
And I have made them 3 or 4 times. They're easy to bake. They contain all good stuff, and everybody that has tried them has just loved them.
Well, I am a huge fan of biscotti. I think they are one of the best cookies of all time. We do have one recipe in this. It is not a version like that. There are many different kinds of biscotti.
Right.
Some of them have butter, like the one in here, and others use either just egg whites or just egg in them. In fact,
right,
one of my favorites is by Emily Lucetti, who is a pastry chef out in San Francisco and a Denison grad, I might add. And she has one that it just uses eggs, like 3 eggs to hold it all together. So it has a little bit of fat, but no butter and very little sugar. And it's just, what's great about them too is they're very satisfying, because you get that big crunch with the cookies. They do take a little longer to make because you have to bake them twice. But maybe you could send in that recipe for Anne to post, because that one sounds really good.
Okay.
Or Jody, send it in next year when Robin solicits for.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Would love to have
cookies.
That.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
We have a caller who mentioned something, and I've been there to this place before. I don't know if it's still there. There's a quaint bake shop in German Village that only is open at Christmas. It's called German Cookies.
Mm-hmm.
It's on 5th Street near Schmidt's Fudge House. I have been there before, and they are fabulous.
And they are only open about 2 weeks out of the year, and they sent me a list of everything that they're making. Maybe next year we can get them to share a couple cookie recipes with us.
That's a great idea.
Maybe I should go over and talk to them now.
Go right now.
Maybe we should. Let's go. Okay. Sorry. See you later.
614-292-8513 if you want to talk to us. And I know that there's probably people out there, Robin, who are wondering about gluten-free recipes.
Mm-hmm. There are. And there's a couple things. We do have one recipe in there. It's for a chocolate chip macaroon. But let me tell you that there is a product out there now called Cup for Cup, or C4C. It's at Williams-Sonoma. It is a gluten-free flour. And I ran a review of that in the food section on Wednesday. It's an expensive flour. I'm not going to lie to you about that. And it's only available at Williams-Sonoma. But you can use it in just about every baking recipe. The results are virtually identical. I tried it on a couple cookies, a couple other things. So that's really great. And then there are a couple of macaroon recipes that you can often find that are also good for gluten-free people who suffer from gluten intolerance. We only received the one cookie this year from people who were gluten-free. Last year, I know we had 4 or 5 people who sent things in. What I like about the cup for cup flour is that it really is cup for cup. You don't have to have anything else. You don't have to have any strange ingredients.
Mm-hmm.
One trip to Williams-Sonoma, and you're really set.
Well, inquiring people want to know, and Wade says he has the answer to the walnut roll mystery. Wade, welcome to the show.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
The name she's looking for that is actually called Popa Pizza.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it's what it is. Now, my family makes it every year, and normally they'll make the roll and actually bake the whole roll and then slice it afterwards.
Oh, now that would work.
Yeah, sometimes they do slice it beforehand and lay it down. It'd be kind of difficult slicing it because there's not much holding it together. The consistency, when you look at it, it looks like a pumpkin roll does. It's rolled up, starting real small, and gets a little bigger in a spiral.
Okay. Well, Wade, thank you.
That's a great tip.
Yeah, we really appreciate it. And you cut it right away while it's still...
Yeah, we all use a serrated knife. It tends to work a little better than a regular knife.
Okay. All right, Wade, thank you so much for listening and for giving us that that tip.
Yep, no problem. Thank you.
Pat in Upper Arlington, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Pat.
Yes, I was just listening to your show on the way home. I had it on my car radio. And I just wanted to say that when I want a recipe, I just get on my computer. I use Google. I just write down the recipe of what I want. I, for example, just came to my computer, and there are all kinds of recipes on Food Network, et cetera, for Trilby cookies.
So whoever,
and some of them have, they're rated. They have reviews by people that have really made these recipes. So I don't even, I hardly even use cookbooks anymore. I just get on the computer and whatever I want to make, I just Google it and I just scroll down. And that's how I cook.
Mm-hmm. I love my cookbooks, but sometimes I still go to the computer and I just stick an ingredient in and Google that and see what comes up.
In fact, I was scrolling down and I even noticed a recipe that was, it says, this old recipe from Trilby Cookies is from a notebook my grandma, who was born in 1906, kept. So anyhow, I just thought I'd throw that out to the people who are looking for certain recipes, and they just wonder, you know, they don't have copies anymore. Just go to your computer, and it's a big help.
There is a huge online community of recipes. That's absolutely true.
Right.
Thank you, Pat.
Okay, that's all I had to say. Thank you.
Thanks.
614-292. We still have about 12 minutes left. Bill in Cincinnati. I'm sorry, I didn't finish my number. 614-292-8513. Bill in Cincinnati, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Hi, good morning, and thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I drive quite a bit all over the state, and I get tired of losing radio stations, so I started putting a computer with speakers in the car. I stream just three stations, and you're one of them, driving all over the state. Never lose it. And I love to listen to your show.
Thank you, Bill.
And my situation is dramatic. Cincinnati, everybody had a favorite that they would contribute during the holidays. My maternal grandmother would always do some type of a tort that she would spray bourbon on and wrap it in cheesecloth and respray it and let it sit for weeks, and it was wonderful. But I'm calling because this happens in Cincinnati, not in the Metro Columbus area. We started, because of graters and holiday cookies and things, we started eating a little bit too much fat. And my brother recently had a quadruple calves, and so the family unified and said, how much are we all going to lose together? Now, that's a setup. My brother, living in Charlotte, North Carolina, made the Fun Print cookies, and that's why I called. You were talking about that before, and you mentioned a couple of techniques that I was not familiar with. And so I thought I would give you a call. He called this year because of the quadruple and said, I'm not sending the cookies anymore. If you want to do them yourself, go online to that butter company that you mentioned earlier, and there's the recipe. So I looked at it, and I looked at the recipe. There it was, and it was 90 calories per cookie, 6 grams of fat per cookie.
Oh, my
gosh. I told my fiancé, I'm not going to bake these things this year, and that's it. So I think this year I'm going to be looking at a lot of beautifully decorated cookies, and I'm going to try to tie my hands behind my back. One thing. I'm glad that gentleman called with that cookie, that stand-up cookie that the woman earlier was asking about.
Right.
If he would email before the end of the show how to spell that word, and if he knows the dramatic background, what country that may have come from.
You know, that's a good question. I'm glad I should have asked him that right off the bat, Bill.
If he's still listening, maybe he could email quickly before the show's over. I'd love to know the background.
Okay.
Thank you very much for the call. Take care.
Happy holidays
to you.
Happy holidays to you, too, and thanks for your dedication to the show. Wow, that's always nice to hear. We have an email from Bob. He writes, my mother tells a story about her Croatian parents making pitzels. Now, they're calling them pitzels here. Now, I don't know.
How's that?
With P-I-T-Z-E-L.
Oh, okay.
With a manual pitzel iron. One time, so the story goes, her mother asked her father to help, saying, "When I yell to you, turn it over." Of course, she meant to turn the whole thing over, but he was a bricklayer, not a baker. She returned to him swearing as he had opened up the pizzle iron and had been attempting to turn the pizzle over inside the iron.
Okay. That's a great story.
That's a great story. Frank from Westerville. Welcome to the show, Frank.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I love your show. Always listening.
Thank you, Frank.
Couple of things. The lady with the roll that she slices and it falls down.
Oh, yeah, right, yeah.
Yeah, if she cooks it whole, partially, then takes it out of the oven when it has set and then slices it, I think
Oh, that's a good idea,
look.
Too.
Okay.
That's kind of like biscotti, only not cooked as much, I guess.
Yeah.
Right.
Which makes sense. It's an Italian, I guess. It says here you're a New York Italian.
Yes.
It is an Italian?
Yes.
Cookie?
It is Italian.
Oh, that's okay. Great.
Do you know how it's pronounced?
Oh, I'm sorry. Pizzelle, are you talking about?
Not pizzelles. We're talking about the nut roll.
No, I do not know what it's called.
Okay. Okay. And then what about, it is pizzelles?
It's pizzelle.
Pizzelle.
Double Z, like pizza. Pizzelle.
Right.
Pizzelle. Okay, so.
You know, it's the same, pronunciation.
Okay.
Double Z. And there's one more thing I wanted to add.
Okay.
And my brain went dead.
Oh, well, my world and welcome to it, Frank.
And I love the Mexican wedding cookies.
Yeah.
And if you have a recipe for that you'd like to put online, I'd be thrilled to death.
Well, there is one in the cookie section today. It's called Russian tea cakes. That's another name for the same cookie. It's also often called butterballs.
Right.
So there is one today. Devin Morgan from Elena's and the Sheraton downtown gave that to us.
I know them well.
Yeah. So excellent recipe.
Well, thank you very much for taking my call. Keep up the good work.
Thank you.
Thanks, Frank. Thanks for calling. We have a few more minutes left. We have just a few calls, and if you want to take the time, 614-292-8513. We might be able to squeeze you in. So far, so good. Chuck in Cincinnati, welcome to the show.
Hi. I was listening to your show. I just turned on, matter of fact. And I do a lot of bread baking. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I found out that instead of using buttermilk, you can use sour cream, you know, whatever it calls for. I like to use yogurt.
Oh, that's a great idea.
I use vanilla yogurt, matter of fact. I use a light vanilla yogurt, so it's hardly A plus or anything. You can use, instead of using what they call lard or butter.
Mm-hmm.
Most butter, when I was growing up, I took culinary, and they say it's made with lard, salt, and coloring. But you can use shed's bread. Shed's bread is no plus anymore.
Mm-hmm.
At some house, my wife and I do that a lot. I make homemade breads like banana breads or kidney pineapple bread and all that jazz.
Right.
You can also go to allrecipes.com.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I go all the time if I need a recipe.
They have tons of recipes. They do.
Yeah, they have carrot bread made with baby food carrots.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh.
It adds a moistness to it. I've seen that before. Yeah, it's pureed carrots,
that's really
right?
Neat.
I was going to drop a couple recipes on you guys just because I've been listening to your shows here. There is one called pumpkin muffins. You can make those. And it's all it is spice cake mix. And
a can of pumpkin?
Yeah, 15 ounce can of pumpkin. No egg, water, or oil, just those two.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes I chop up an apple and throw it in the spice bread mix, and that turns out real well, too. Little apple bits like that.
Hey, I tried it with bananas, too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a good idea.
15 ounce bananas with all the juice drained out of it.
Okay, I'm really getting hungry. thank you so much for your call. I want to get a couple more people. Appreciate you listening from Cincinnati.
Well, maybe I'll call you another time and give you the yogurt cake recipe.
Okay.
Thank you.
Take care.
Have a good one. Take care.
You too. Michael in Worthington, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Michael.
Oh, hi, Ann. Great show. Actually, the guy right before me had it all right as far as the pronunciation. My parents were from Italy, Abruzzo. And it's technically pizzelle, but everyone says pizzelle. Z as in pizza.
Uh-huh.
My dad's name was Ezio, E-Z-I-O, Ezio, T-S sound. And it's biscotti. It's an open O.
Okay.
You could be pedantic and say biscotti, but everyone says biscotti.
Yeah.
But it's an open O as opposed to a closed O.
Okay.
But I do have a funny, I love that pizzelle iron.
Isn't that awesome? That's a great
electric
story.
My wife got my mom, and it is, you know, you hold it open at that time, a gas flame, and my wife is pouncing on me about getting gas for the oven. But my mom would say a Hail Mary, Ave Maria, in Italian for each slide. That's how she knew it was done.
She knew the timing.
But
that's great.
But I love the guy flipping it. It's a great story. I can't wait to tell that at Christmas.
And I love the way they said it's not a baker,
right,
as
he's a bricklayer.
Yeah, I know. That's the Mason's move.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks a lot. Thanks.
Thanks,
Michael.
Bye-bye.
Nicole in Columbus,
yes.
You're on the air. Welcome to the show, Nicole.
Hi, thanks. I'm not much of a baker, but I've been taking it up a little bit more lately. And one of my little gifts I'd like to give to family members or when I have guests over for Christmas, I was going to try out making cake bites, the little ones that have the chocolate coating, and sometimes people put them on like lollipop sticks.
Uh-huh.
And I was wondering if you have a recommendation of a relatively cheap chocolate that I could try out, also that, or where I could also find it. Sorry about that.
Well, what you probably want to do is not use chocolate, but to use candy coating. And you can get it in a variety of different colors at any of the craft stores, Michael's, Joann's, and I think some of the supermarkets carry it too. The only thing is when you melt it, it's very, very thick. So then you want to add some shortening to it, and that'll make it dippable. But it sets up beautifully. It's not as temperature sensitive as chocolate is, and it's not very expensive. So I think that that's a great way to go. If you want to do chocolate, chocolate's funny because it can get kind of, it can get either streaky or it won't get a nice snap to it. So if you want to do that, I usually use Ghirardelli. Don't try not to use chocolate chips because they're really meant not to melt. So you may be fighting a battle there that they take a little bit longer to melt. Just use like the Ghirardelli chocolate broken into pieces. You can get it at bars at most supermarkets.
Thanks, Nicole, for the call. I want to squeeze in one more before we have to go. And Joann in Columbus. We're running out of time, but I wanted to get you in. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. In my Slovenian culture, P-O-T-I-C-A, petica, the nut roll. Put it on the computer, P-O-T-I-C-A. You'll see a good picture of it. Okay. Ajman's in Cleveland does sell it, as do other locations. It's not too cheap, but it's very good, and my folks have made it for many years, although my mother's 94 now, does not do that. But anyhow, P-O-T-I-C-A, and you do bake it till it's finished,
and
then you
slice
it. And it freezes beautifully.
Yeah, I think I'm going to have to make this
Me
cookie.
Me too.
Thank you so much.
You know, Robin, I can send you a recipe. I can do that online. I do have some references.
That would be great.
Okay, thank you. It does take a long time to make.
I've got nothing but time.
Yes.
Well, Joann, thanks so much for your call. And thanks to everybody for all the great calls. Mm-hmm. We have just a little bit less than a minute, but I wondered if you have a personal favorite. What's the cookie you always make?
Oh, my gosh. That's like asking me to choose a favorite child. I love to do cutout cookies.
Me too.
I love it. And there was a recipe in this year that are a little puffier that I like, and they have a coconut scent. And then yesterday in the Dispatch, prettiest cutouts. Really, when I'm going to do decorated cookies, that's what I make.
I'm going to really make my cookies fancy this year. I say that every year, but I make cutouts every year, and people think that's fancy in and of itself. Robin
right.
Davis, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Ann. It was great.
Robin Davis, she's the food editor for the Columbus Dispatch. They came out with their special section, Holiday Cookies, the third annual. You can get it in the paper today. Thanks for listening, and thanks to everybody this week for all your help on the show. Producer Linda Taylor, associate producer Amy Jurovich, All Sides production assistant Jennifer Monroe. We're going to miss you, Jennifer. All Sides intern Corinne Gleckler, high school intern Ben Faith, and All Sides volunteers Ian Sheik and Rose Joe. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher. This is WOSU 89.7, WOSU HD1, and WOSU 820 Columbus, and streaming online at WOSU.org, 89.7, NPR News, a service of WOSU Public Media.
Support for 89.7 comes from the estate of Donald R. Glancy, whose life was enriched by public radio and television, and whose bequest seeks to encourage others to discover WOSU Public Media.